Good day to you. Welcome to the latest video from me, Bernie Miklas, on the Bernie Channel on YouTube. Thanks for subscribing. Please tell others to subscribe. I want to keep building this. The early results have been fantastic. Thank you for all your comments and your thumbs up support. It's great stuff. In case you're wondering, you know, my new hats that arrived, I've been using them, showing them off a little bit. That's Satchel Paige. St. Louis Browns colors. It's like a tribute cap to Satchel Paige, one of the most intriguing baseball players of all time. What a personality. All right, today I want to get right down to it. What will happen if the Cardinals replace Ollie Marmol after the season? Now, I want to say this up front. I think in some ways it's not fair to Marmol for me to be talking about this. He still has a job. Not only that, he is under contract through the end of the 2026 season. So I want to note that. But here's what it is. Like you say, well, it's a little inappropriate. The guy hasn't been fired. He may keep his job. He may not. But until we know, you know, why even float the idea of bringing in a replacement? Okay, fair enough. But here's the deal. This has been on my mind. I think about things in advance. I also see a lot of your comments about what you would like to see the Cardinals do. So if this has been on my mind, and I've been giving it a lot of thought, a scenario in which the Cardinals would replace Ollie Marmol, it may not be fair to him in a way to talk about it. But if it's on my mind, and it's sincerely on my mind, and all the great people that are supporting me on this YouTube channel, if it's on their mind, I would be a tremendous phony to not talk about it. Because one of the things I've always that I'm determined to do on this channel and in my writing at scoopsnetwork.com, I don't care who likes me. I don't care about whether, oh, somebody's going to get mad at me. I'm talking about, you know, teams, managers, owners, players, coaches, whatever. You get to a certain stage in your career where you really don't care about that stuff. I always didn't care about it too much because I'd get people mad at me all the time when, you know, I was a younger columnist. I was always getting people just outraged, talking about people I cover. So I've never been afraid of that, despite what people might think. But if about it and you're thinking about it and you support me on the YouTube channel, then yeah, I'm going to talk about it because that it's right in line with my philosophy. I'm going to speak straightforward. I'm going to talk about what's on my mind. And if it's a little sensitive, too bad. Okay. Managers get fired. Now with Ollie Marmol, the big question would be, well, who makes the decision? You know, John Mozeliak gave him a 2-year contract extension after, well, I should say going into this season. After saying all winter, no, we're going to wait. We're going to see how this plays out. So he was leaving Marmol hanging and basically putting him to a test. He wanted to see how he managed in 2024. But then in spring training, out of the blue, here's a 2-year contract extension that takes him through 2026. Does that – how much of a factor is that? Well, is Bill DeWeet – Bill DeWeet – sorry, Bill DeWeet – Bill DeTweet – yeah, let's turn into an X thing, X Twitter thing. Anyway, is Bill DeWitt, you know, does he say, well, I think he's done a fine job. We need to give him a better ball club. You know, you came to me and said we should extend his contract, and I agreed, but now you want to fire him? I could see where an owner would be kind of like, what's going on here? Well, if Bill would ever be in that hypothetical situation, the question would be, well, why do you still have faith and confidence in this guy who told you, among other reasons, he told you, no, Ollie's going to have to prove himself in 2024 after last season. And all of a sudden it's like, well, no, here's Bill. I'd like to give him a 2-year contract extension. And then, you know, even though the Cardinals have underachieved, I think they've overachieved. With this roster and with all the rippage we've all done about this roster and all the flaws and all the holes that weren't filled, if we're criticizing the roster and we're criticizing the way the team was put together, well, Ollie Marmol is vulnerable to that kind of stuff too. This is not a great job right now. And he has not been given everything he needs to have the maximum potential for success. But yeah, so if I were Bill Doit, I'd be real puzzled. Well, okay, you said now he's got to go into next season. He's got to prove it. No, wait a minute. We're going to give him 2 years. Okay. No, Bill, I now want to fire him. Okay. Crazy organization, man. So anyway, I don't know who's making the decision. If it's John Mozeliak, in theory, you would think that would give Marmol a better chance to keep his job. If Chaim Bloom takes over the baseball operation for 2025, I've always said, I don't care who it is, when someone takes over your baseball operation, they should have the freedom to choose their own manager. Does Chaim Bloom look at Ali Marmol? Does he like what he sees? Should Chaim Bloom, if he is in charge, a lot of hypotheticals, and he truly, sincerely likes what he sees from Ali Marmol, are we going to attack him, berate him, and basically write him off forever because he chose to bring Marmol back? It's a complex situation. I don't know why Bill DeWitt would leave John Mozeliak in charge given the circumstances. The fans are as unhappy as I've ever seen. I'm talking about Cardinals baseball. And they are angry. They are disillusioned. They're not coming to the games, even though they bought tickets for the games. There's a lot of unhappy people, and you have to win their trust. You have to earn it back. And I don't know if you're trying to win the fans back, staying the course at the top of the baseball operation where there's been so many mistakes made and so much stagnation and getting stale and getting outdated and falling behind the times. That's another video to do, which we've talked about already, but I don't know what's going to happen. But if Chaim Bloom's in the background as John Mozeliak has one more year before his contract expires, well, it's going to be another very unpleasant season for Cardinals baseball in terms of your fan relations. That's just the reality. Everybody knows that. But does Bill DeWitt know that, or does he care enough to say, no, we have to do this. We got to move on from Mo. So I don't know who's going to make the decision. That's number one when we talk about hypotheticals. And that's a big factor in this. All right. It's because, again, I appreciate the fact a lot of you weigh in on this just preemptively, who you want, would you like to see, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. I think if you look at candidates, I think Daniel Descalzo's got to get a look. By the way, I'm not endorsing anyone. If I say nice things about this candidate, that candidate, this candidate, you know, please, with all due respect, it's like, well, Bernie can't make up his mind. You know what? I will make up my mind when I know they're going to change managers. Until then, this is all hypothetical. But I'm going to look at each candidate and tell you what I think. But I'm not giving any verdict today, okay? But you might pick up a little bit on kind of what I think is a good idea in general or not. Anyway, let me shut up. I think Descalzo's got to merit some consideration. He's one of the smartest, toughest Cardinals that I covered. He was not like a gifted player athletically, was not a great hitter per se. He was hard-nosed. He was incredibly smart. He had a great instincts for the game. And if you remember in 2011, game six, and then 2012, the deciding game at Washington, Daniel Descalzo came up huge. So he's got that winning pedigree. He commands respect. He's been a really good bench coach. Because you know what he does? He speaks his mind. He goes to players and he tells them stuff that maybe they don't want to hear, but he's really honest and he's to the point and he's trying to make them better. And that's effective leadership. So he would be a candidate. I assume he would be a candidate. Do I think he would get the job? I don't know. And I'm going to say it one more time because I don't know who's going to be making the decision. Right. And I don't know how the owner feels about it, because it's not like Bill DeWitt's oblivious to this. Well, when you make a decision on who to fire and who to hire, just give me a call. Shoot me a text. Doesn't work that way. Bill DeWitt's in on every decision this franchise makes in terms of baseball and other stuff. but especially baseball. All right. This guy also has a little front office experience, worked in the front office for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's got a good overview of the state of the game and what you need to be successful. There are some real qualities there. All right, let's go outside the organization and let's talk about Terry Francona, because his name comes up a lot. And I understand why. He broke the curse of the Bambino in Boston. He won two World Series there. He goes to Cleveland, his next stop, which is a low-budget operation with a small payroll, and had tremendous success there. He got the 2016 Cleveland Guardians to Game 7 of the World Series. They should have won it. They could have won it. It went down to the last inning, extra innings. And this is one of the most heralded and respected and admired managers of his era. There's no question about it. He's a Hall of Famer. He'll be a Hall of Famer, automatic. There was one report, and it comes from a radio reporter who's a dogged reporter, and he's broken stories for a long time, Bruce Levine or Levine. I don't know why I'm stumbling on which way to pronounce his name, because I know him, which is stupid of me. When the White Sox were obviously preparing to fire their manager, which they have done, Bruce put out a report. He said, that Tito Francona, might want to get back, or he does want to get back. And the thing of it is, and this is no knock on Bruce whatsoever, that's the only person that I've seen who has ventured that opinion and reported it as such. And it gives me pause, not because I think Bruce lacks credibility. It's the opposite. But Tito Francona is very wired into the national media because these people have covered him a long time. They know him well. He's comfortable with the media. If he was aspiring to get back, right? If this was something he has decided, I really want to do this. Listen, final month of the season, there's going to be managerial jobs opening soon. The word would be putting out, Tito feels great and he wants to get back. Right? There'd be a campaign, or at least kind of a get the message out operation, to let every team know that might be replacing their manager, that Tito will listen to you. He's interested in returning. I haven't seen the media network kick in like that, and it's getting late in the season. So I just throw that in there for your consideration. Because I'm not so sure he wants to get back. This guy, even going back to his final year in Boston or whatever, this guy, Terry Francona, has had very challenging, very serious health issues. He has managed in a lot of pain. The pain at times has become unbearable. And you remember, he would have to take a leave of absence here and there with the Guardians to go into the hospital and to kind of get, I don't know what the word is, to get things under control. And he has had almost disabling problems with his legs and other situations where just managing a team and the rigors of managing, and just the fact that, you got to be up on your feet. You got to be moving around, and you don't want to be in the dugout just racked with pain. And Tito concluded that after, going into, late in the season when he announced that he was going to retire, or it was believed he let the word out, that's probably what it was going to be. He just physically couldn't do the job anymore, and it was just the pain and the medical concerns were too much. I mean, this is serious stuff. This is nothing to just dismiss. Oh, he's all right. We don't know that. Now, I'm sure he feels better after taking a year off, and maybe he is feeling the itch to manage again, but we do not know that. And does he really want to get back into the grind? Because the grind has only complicated or intensified his health issues. Does he really, he's 65 years old, be 66, I believe, next year. Does he really want to jump back in? I don't know. I'd be a little surprised, but this man loves baseball. So listen, if Terry Francona wants your job, you better take that seriously. The Cardinals had their chance, kind of, before they hired Matheny. That's been overstated, though. Terry Francona was not ready to manage again. He's dealing with all kinds of things, and that's why he took a year off. I think the Cardinals knew that. He knew that they probably had their sights set on Matheny. But if you want to rip the Cardinals for that, whatever. I'm just telling you it's not that simplistic, the fact that they didn't hire him. There were factors on Tito's end that led to that as well. But I also think they were determined to hire Matheny to be the next great leader of men and all that stuff. So Tito is an X factor. I don't know what to think. He's a hell of a manager. He's a hell of a guy. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's beloved. He's loved by everyone. I've heard Buck Showalter brought up. I'm sorry. I appreciate, as an old Orioles fan, the fact that he came in and got that thing going again for a while until ownership, of course, became the late Peter Angelos, and court decided he was going to ruin everything again, whatever. He's 68 years old, and I just don't, it just doesn't appeal to me, because I think there's other ways you can go. I like Buck a lot, but that doesn't mean because I like him, oh yeah, you got to hire him because I like him. I like him personally. No. Should they take, yeah, they should take a look at a lot of things if they decide to change managers. All right. Let's go to Cardinals ties players other than Descalso. There's Skip Schumacher. Obviously, his name comes up a lot. If I had to say, from what I could tell, you know, by your comments, and again, thank you very much. You know, it's like him and Molina would be tied for first, and if there was a fan vote on this, at least from an unofficial fan vote. But I want you to check in on all this after the video. Tell me what you would do, who you would prefer. Because I want to hear your voice on this. Well, Skip Schumacher brings a lot to the job. There's no doubt about it. First of all, he's one of the smartest players I've ever covered, and I'm using that a lot. But that's why those teams won. They had a lot of really smart players with great baseball instincts and who took it upon themselves to be leaders. Skip wasn't the most gifted athlete. He wasn't the most gifted player. But boy, did he carve out a really nice career, and boy, did he come through with some big, big moments and big hits. Including being responsible really for creating the run that won game five of the 2011 NLDS, Holiday versus Carpenter. Skip's a winner, and Skip has experience. He was the associate manager in San Diego. And you know why that was a really good experience for him? Because that franchise, dysfunctional at the time, they had a bad clubhouse. They had all kinds of problems. It was a temperamental team. There was infighting. And you say, well, you know, what did he do about it? I don't think anybody could have done a damn thing about it. These managers and coaches are not all powerful, right? When you have a toxic clubhouse and a roster put together with some really, you know, lousy personalities, you know how this benefited Skip Schumacher? Because he experienced firsthand what can happen if your clubhouse goes bad or you don't take the time and the care to make sure you have a good clubhouse and you're not bringing people in that are going to be disruptors and agitators and always causing trouble. He learned how to handle that. He watched the other manager, but he learned how, okay, he's thinking, this is what I would have done. Okay, now I see how this could be a problem. That was an education in itself. It is a very valuable education because it always doesn't go smoothly for managers. You got to put out fires. You got to take preventative steps. You have to be able to read your own clubhouse and act accordingly. He got a huge class, a huge education watching that, all that crap going on out there. Came to the Cardinals in 2022. To be the bench coach after Matt Holliday decided, as he was right, he wanted to be there for his sons as they're preparing for the major league draft and, you know, all that stuff. He should be. You know, why not? Who needs the grind of coaching when you have something so profound? Skip Schumacher is a really good bench coach. Now, I think to an extent that's been blown out of proportion, and here's why. And I love Skip. He gets credit for a lot. And, you know, I had one or two people actually in the comments were saying, listen, Marmol hadn't won anything since Skip Schumacher left. Skip, in other words, Skip was the reason. Come on now. Let's, again, let's please. They had Goldschmidt as an MVP. They had Arenado finishing third. They had Albert Pujols with this dreamlike final season. They still had Yadier Molina in his final season, you know, running the pitching staff. They were getting, like, really good performance. Like, for example, Lars Nubar was a rookie. They had people come up. They did well. Ollie Marmol really patched in some holes the best he could. The rotation was breaking down. He had to really patch, right, a lot of stuff and sort of survive until help arrived, and that's what he did. I mean, they were, I believe, 6 games over .500 at the All-Star break, maybe 7. At the trade deadline, they were about the same area. So he kept that team above water, even though the starting pitching was just deteriorating rapidly. You remember the injuries, you remember Flaherty, you remember this, you remember that. They also had Adam Wainwright in his last really good season as a pitcher. So, but John Mozeliak did his job that summer. They went out and traded for Jordan Montgomery and Jose Quintana. And those guys were absolutely brilliant down the stretch. And that gave the Cardinals what they needed to peak at the right time and win that division. To attribute that to Skip Schumacher, again, I'm fond of Skip Schumacher, great respect. But if you're saying he's a reason they won 93 games, you're overlooking a lot of stuff. And this would also make, in my opinion, if you believe that he was responsible, this would make him the greatest bench coach or any coach in the history of Major League Baseball, right? Maybe the best assistant coach in any sport of all time. Let's not get carried away, all right? Now, that doesn't mean he wouldn't be an excellent manager here. I mean, he goes to Miami, and the general manager who hired him knew what she was doing. He gets the Marlins, the dysfunctional, low payroll, low attendance Marlins. He gets them into the playoffs his first season as a manager. They won a lot of one-run games. There's two ways to look at that. I don't want to debate that because I've actually praised Marmol for winning a lot of one-run games this year. Some of it is just sometimes it happens. The one-run games will really work against you even though you're not doing any wrong. Sometimes, you know, you come out ahead, you're doing things right, but it always just kind of – there's always some issues there. You're never sure what to make of it. Listen, bottom line is he got the Miami Marlins in the postseason, right? And they didn't even have an offense. So that was a profound achievement. And so what happens? Dysfunctional franchise kicks in again. What happens is new baseball man comes in, or I should say new guy's going to run the whole operation comes in, and he decides that, you know, probably he wants his own manager. And so Skip Schumacher had an option for 2025. And the new guy running the show who came in told him, said, well, we're not going to pick up your option. He told him that before this season. Like, he basically fired him after he led the Marlins to the playoffs. I mean, Skip Schumacher cannot wait to get out of there. And, of course, I think he would love a chance to talk to the Cardinals about their manager's opening if it comes to that. And there's a lot to recommend there. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I do think I've said, and some of you said, and I appreciate the comments, you know, the Cardinals got to get away from this. They need outside guys. They need people that have learned elsewhere. And they got to quit hiring people like Matheny was a catcher, you know, and he never coached, but he was a beloved, you know, feared, admired catcher and leader of men and all that. And then it was Schilt who was a terrific organization man in terms of coaching and managing, learned from George Kissel. I mean, he had a really good resume to become the manager, and he did a good job. And then when, you know, Schilt and Mo got into it and Schilt lost the job, then they promoted Marmol, who was, you know, minor league player, coach, manager in the Cardinal system, then first base coach, bench coach, now manager here. So they have followed the same track all three times. They've hired a manager, Matheny, Schilt, and Marmol. And some people say, listen, are they going to do this again? Well, it all depends, man. I mean, Skip Schumacher has earned his stripes, so to speak, as a big league manager, and he does have a Cardinal association. I think that makes him a really attractive candidate. And I would think this job would be appealing to him compared to some of the other jobs that might be out there. All right, let's get to the two big ones. All right, there's Yadier Molina, one of the most revered players of his time, revered in St. Louis, revered by every pitcher. held in the highest esteem, held in the highest level of respect. He was in many ways, you know, you had La Russa, you had Duncan, you had Pujols, and you had Molina. You know, Molina was so responsible for driving success here because he ran that pitching staff. Dave Duncan ran it, of course, but with Molina's ability to handle individual pitchers and the way he would call games, he was a genius behind the plate and one of the great competitors in the history of the franchise. He brings a lot to the table. He's also managed in Puerto Rico in terms of the national team, and those teams overachieved in the World Baseball Classic. And you could tell the way the players just were in awe of him and played their guts out for him. And real take charge manager. Lot there to love, obviously. But the only thing I don't know about, it's kind of a weird situation. Remember, he was hired to come in and be a special assistant to John Mozeliak. And, oh, this will be great. Yadier's going to, you know, he'll be with the big league club. He'll spend time with the Cardinals. Then he'll go to the minor leagues. He'll be given assignments, and he'll be putting his imprint all over the organization, except it never happened. And no one has ever explained why. If he did anything at all, it certainly would be noticed, and it would have been notable, and it would have been reported on in some respect, minor leagues included. I don't know whether he, as some has theorized, he just doesn't want to work for Mozeliak. Well, if that's the case, why did he agree to have a press release out saying that he would do that? Weird situation. Is he waiting for Mozeliak possibly to be fired? I don't know. I can see why people would, you know, sort of at least venture into that conclusion. Does he just think it's a bad situation right now and he doesn't want to be any part of it? I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to talk to Benji Molina. Maybe I should. It's just kind of weird the way he was going to be a special advisor and, you know, this high level consultant and, you know, going all over the place, making the Cardinals better until it never happened. So I don't know what it means. I don't know what it, if it shapes the Cardinals' thinking of him or shapes his own thinking of the Cardinals. I do not know. But Molina obviously would be a popular candidate, and he has tremendous credentials. All right, this brings me to the final guy I want to talk about, which is Albert Pujols, who will be managing in the Dominican Republic after the season, and he's fired up about it. He has said a couple times this season, including spring training, that when he was out there with the Angels, yeah, I want to be a manager one day. And I'm privy to some conversations he had internally last season when he came back for the Wainwright weekend, where he conveyed that he wanted to get involved with baseball, whether it be coaching. He wouldn't say he's too honorable of a guy to say something like, well, you know, if you ever want me to manage, I know Ollie's the manager, but, you know, just give me a call. He ain't going to do that. But he did convey that he would like to coach and get involved with the Cardinals. And now he does have a stupid personal services contract with the Angels, but I find it hard to believe they would stand in his way of becoming a major league manager. I mean, they're a horrendous organization, don't get me wrong, but I don't even think they would go that low. I don't know what to say about having written 1,000 times or talked about 1,000 times. I mean, he's the best player in terms of accomplishments that I've ever covered, and I've covered a lot of great ones. The thing about Pujols as a player, midway through his career, whatever, and then, of course, in 2022, the way he is perceived among his peers, like any space that he walked into, he had such an aura, and he had such an incredible, indelible list of accomplishments. The magnitude of his career has been matched or exceeded by only a few players in the history of the game, but they also know, you know, he had bad legs. He played in pain. He's an incredibly smart player, incredibly smart. He was trained and developed in terms of baseball knowledge and what would a manager do here. And Albert Pujols, the whole time he was with the Cardinals, was also a student of the game, and he would spend a lot of time with Tony La Russa. He'd walk in there. I'd see him go in, and so I know what's coming here. He closed the door, and he would ask La Russa, said, you know, you made this move, And I wasn't even thinking about that. And it was a great move, Tony. Like, what? Tell me, explain your decision. You know, why did you do that? And La Russa would provide a very deep, detailed thing of everything he saw. All the factors went into it. And Albert would go in there after games when something blew up on La Russa, because that happens too. And it's not always that the manager screwed up. The manager can make the right move that just happens to not work. That happens a lot in baseball all season long. So when La Russa would have a decision was great, Pujols wanted to know what he was thinking. When he had a decision that backfired, Pujols wanted to go in there and see what he was thinking. They talked ball all the time. He was already prepping to be a manager. And let me tell you something. I've seen it. When he walks into a clubhouse, even with MLB Network or whatever it is, when he walks into a clubhouse, the reaction is just like people are in awe of him. How many former players now could go into a clubhouse and kind of get like, oh my God, Albert Pujols just walked in. Imagine what that would be like if he was actually running a team. You know, I think the Cardinals have low standards. I think they lack leadership. I think the wrong people have been, making decisions. It's like, well, I want this hitting coach. He's my guy. No, you don't do it that way. Albert Pujols walks in that clubhouse as the leader of the Cardinals. And the idea of that is just fascinating to me and intriguing. And it's pretty appealing, I must say. I just can't stress enough that the moment this guy would take the job, the respect would be deep, intense, and universal. And everyone knows how smart he is. And everyone knows his great innate sense feel of the game. And he's someone as a player that would talk to teammates. Listen, I see you doing this. Knock it off or whatever. He would help teammates. I've never seen anybody work harder, but he would make sure his teammates knew he was there for them, or he would be proactive and try to help them out. You're talking about a guy, there is a club of one in Major League history, a club of one. It's Albert Pujols. What am I referring to? There's one player in the history of the game that has at least 3,000 hits, 2,000 runs batted in, 700 homers, and multiple MVPs. Albert Pujols, that's it. The reaction to Pujols coming in as a manager, I got to believe no one gets a unanimous approval rating, but the reaction would be phenomenal. Because people would trust Albert Pujols, and they know that whatever leadership concerns they are from the day he walks in, that's over. He's in charge, and he knows how to deal with players, and they lionize him. They look up to him. They respect him. There are certain people that's just like, you know what? They come in with such credibility and a reputation that is so deeply embedded in the game, where it's like, even if you have people in there that don't have the best interest of the team at heart, they ain't going to mess with Albert Pujols. Wouldn't mess with Molina either. The only question I have about Albert is this. It's a personal one about his life. You know, he's still, relatively speaking, a newlywed, and he's working for MLB Network. He's working for Rob Manfred in the commissioner's office, basically as an ambassador. And these are jobs, and he's good at them, and he likes it, but he's not – you don't have to be at a baseball park, like, running things, like, you know, from spring training, 162 games, playoffs if your team's good enough. That daily grind of being a manager, man, it is hard, and you're away from your family a lot. You're really away from your family a lot. You're away from your wife a lot, and they're home. You're on the road. You come home. You're at the ballpark early. You stay late. When you get home, you get home. Maybe you have some time. Then you get up the next day. You're driving to Busch Stadium earlier because managers get there earlier and earlier and earlier. I actually think it's ridiculous. Whitey Herzog would get there 2:00, 3:00. Everything was fine, you know. So even when you're home, you're not home, is what I'm trying to say. You are maybe technically, but you're not really home. If you follow Albert Pujols on Instagram, you'll see that he is a very, very happy man. I mean, the joy radiates from him because of his marriage, and he's met someone that he deeply loves. They travel the world. They go to events. Albert Pujols always wanted to go to U.S. Open tennis. They were there. They're in Italy. They're there. They're here. They're there. They're everywhere. Smiles everywhere. Radiance, joy, all of it. He wants to manage one day, but what are we talking about? Would he be willing to? He's having such a lovely time enjoying his life now on a personal level. Is he ready to sort of basically put that aside to re-enter a very demanding job that would really take him away for long periods of time from the woman that he deeply loves? And you might roll your eyes, but I'm telling you, man, just look at the photos. This guy, I don't know if I've ever seen a happier couple, right? So that's the question. And I do know that Albert Pujols has conveyed to the Cardinals that at some point he'd like to work for them in a baseball sense, but he wasn't trying to knife Ollie Marmol in the back because they're very good friends. But it's an intriguing idea. I just don't know when the time would be right for Albert. And only Albert can determine that. Let me know what you think about all the people that I talked about. Because it's a really interesting topic, and there's a lot of ways they can go, but we really can't get a good handle on it until we know who's going to be making the damn decision in terms of replacing the manager they have and hiring the next manager. It's fuzzy, but that'll be resolved, I'm pretty sure, soon after the season ends. That'll do it today. I may be back later with a Mizzou video, Boston College coming in. And I think it's a real interesting test for the Tigers. And I'll get to show off a new hat as well. You all be good. Take care. Thanks for watching. Give your opinion on this in the comment section. Take care.